Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. Today we will continue our series on how to start your own business, a step-by-step blueprint for the first-time entrepreneur. And today we will discuss product and price strategy. And it's important to understand that because you do not want to overprice your products, just like you don't want to overprice your service, but you want to price it equal to some of your other competitors, and you need to know what your market is. That's why it's important to understand how to build a business that makes you competitive, but also makes you, it gives you credibility, because if you underprice yourself, then it's not just that you're undercutting your competition, but that someone may not see you as a real professional in an area that you want to be looked at as a professional. So you need to understand how to price the product and how to put it out there in such a way that you're offering value as much as offering something that they really need. So now that you've analyzed the overall market, determined the strengths and weaknesses of the existing businesses in that market, and identified your specific target market, you are in a position to develop your marketing mix. The marketing mix for your business should reflect the sustainable competitive advantages that you plan to have and how you will be able to offer greater satisfaction to your target market than any other business offers. One of the basic principles of business success is to succeed, you must be better than your competition. And to be better, you must be different. Being different does not automatically mean that you will be better. Your marketing mix must be better in areas that your target market values. Your market offering is better than any if your target market considers it to be better. Your target market must value the difference and must be willing to pay for it. The owners of La Tour Eiffel may claim that it is the best French restaurant in Chicago. They may base their claims on head chef's credentials and her commitment to using only the finest ingredients. Professional accomplishments and expensive ingredients may affect the taste of the food, but it will be the expectations and preferences of the people in the target market that will determine whether they consider it to be the best. This is why it is so important that you be in tune with the people in your target market and that you try to see the world through their eyes. Now, businesses must be tailored to the needs, desires, interests, preferences, and behaviors of their target market. Your target market is the judge and the jury when your business goes on trial in the marketplace. You may believe that you have the lowest prices in town, but if your target market is price sensitive and believes that your prices are not the lowest, it will go somewhere else. The same applies to your location and the other components of your market offering. If you believe that your business is conveniently located, but your target market considers it to be out of the way, it will take the business elsewhere. The marketing mix is made up of four components, which are known as the four P's. These components are the product service strategy, the price strategy, the promotional strategy, and the physical distribution strategy. Your marketing mix represents the rifle bullet that your business fires at its target market. Now, What I've been doing is reading and discussing how to start your own business from a book that really talks about opening up a brick and mortar store. But today in the workplace, most people, even if they have a brick and mortar store, also have a website where they sell their products from. Not only that, but selling from a website today is basically even where most places today even do most of their business. So in some of the ways, some of the things we may be talking about may not be as important as it was 10 or even 15 years ago, which is why, if you think about it, a lot of corporate offices, when they have malls, they have all these stores that are chains in all these malls. And that being that even today when they're buying and they're building apartments, they're talking about building communities where you live and work. For instance, I lived in Atlanta for over 30 years, and they built what they call Atlantic Station, and that was supposed to be a place where you live, work, and play. And what they did was, a lot of what happened was, they built this, and they built all these shopping centers, and they had office buildings there. Now, what's happened is, if people had their cars, it was a very difficult place for them to come in, simply because you had to come in through 14th Street, through 17th Street. That's only two entrances. Then when the Department of Transportation took and closed up 14th Street because they took down the bridge and they rebuilt it and they revamped the roads, then for 3 years, those roads were out of commission. So the people that lived in Atlantic Station only had one way to get in and out. So it was, even though it was built on that concept, a lot of people who lived in there were living there more for the fact that they were buying places, and it was during the boom of the real estate market that it was more about building it to either resell it or to build it to rent it out to make money. And they were looking to make back what they were putting into it. Well, a lot of that fell through, so now you're seeing a lot of those markets fall too. Product service strategy. Each component of the marketing mix plays an integral role in your effect to create and maintain customers. Among the four P's, product service strategy may play the most significant role. Businesses are usually described in terms of the products and services they offer to the marketplace. Pricing, promotion, and physical distribution are also important. However, if the goods and services you offer are not what people in your target market desire and are willing to pay, it will not matter how low your prices are, how catchy your advertising is, or whether you have a convenient location. The development of your product service strategy begins with identifying the products and services to offer. The competitive matrix will be helpful here. Market analysis may indicate that customers in your target market are still searching for colors, sizes, or types of that particular product. The matrix may also indicate that your target market is looking for a specific brand that is not available in your geographic territory. The product service mix can be described in terms of its breadth and its depth. Breadth refers to how many different brands you offer. A business with a broad product mix offers a variety of brands. The depth of the product line refers to the number of models offered for each brand. The broader and deeper your product mix, the greater the selection of your target market. A note of caution may be appropriate here. If you offer the wrong brands, it may not matter how many models you carry. This is why it is important to determine whether your target market is brand conscious and brand loyal. Retail sporting goods stores are an example of a type of business that has a broad and deep product mix. Most sporting goods stores carry at least 6 different brands of shoes and at least 5 models of each brand. A few decades ago, this was not the case. Everyone wore regular white tennis shoes. Now there are low-cut, high-cut, pastel colored, zebra patterned, cross training, yoga, exercise, jogging, and aerobic shoes. If market analysis indicates a trend toward people wanting to have a different athletic shoe for each sport, then sporting goods stores will need to have their breadth and depth of product mix. Henry Ford's product strategy for his Model T was based on the premise, you can have your car in any color as long as it is black. This strategy no longer applies to automobiles, and it doesn't apply to most other products in today's Baskin-Robbins 31 flavors marketplace. In many markets, we have gone from one-size-fits-all products or service to having to offer customized products or services that enable customers to have their individual needs met. The product service strategy also involves the services you plan to offer your target market. The United States has become a service economy. Even though service businesses sell labor and or information, the process of developing a service strategy is not very different from the process of developing a product strategy. The primary difference between products and services is that in many cases, potential customers may be able to perform the services for themselves. Businesses engaged in selling residential real estate, moving household furnishings, landscaping, hairstyling, preparing taxes, offering exercise opportunities, and painting houses do not just compete against other businesses. Consumers or these services may choose to bypass these businesses and perform the services for themselves if they find it worthwhile. Service businesses succeed in the extent that they are able to provide their services better, quicker, in more convenient way, or in a less expensive manner than their competition or their customers can. If a service business does not have a competitive advantage, why should consumers give it their money? Most businesses that sell products also provide various services. The competitive matrix may indicate that customers are in search of a business that will provide a delivery service, take phone orders, have knowledgeable salespeople, accept specific special orders, provide warranty or money-back refund, accept credit cards, or provide advice on how to use the product. Amazon.com's success cannot be attributed merely to its offering books at competitive rates. Its ability to provide information about books and to suggest books that may interest the customer makes a real difference. The ability to order books on a 24/7 basis in an almost effortless manner and having them delivered to your door gave Amazon.com a formidable competitive advantage when it opened its electronic doors to the public. When you are trying to decide which products to carry, keep in mind the saying, you want to offer products that don't come back to people who do. The more that you offer what the people in your target market want, the higher the probability that those people will be loyal to your business. This is important because the higher your level of customer satisfaction and loyalty, the less likely your customers will be to try other businesses or to influence by your competitors' advertisements. People who are contemplating going into business need to remember that they are not in the business of selling products or services. They need to be in the business of providing satisfaction. Now remember, that is the biggest thing that you have to be considerate of, customer service. People will come back for customer service. That is the big, that's what people want. They want it to be treated with respect in the business world. So remember what it is that you're really selling. If you plan to open a business that sells products, you may find that your greatest competitive advantage comes from the services that you offer with your products. Most existing businesses do a poor job when it comes to providing customer service. Their salespeople resemble the living dead. They know little about the products they stock. Most often than not, customers feel like calling in the Civil Air Patrol to help find someone to take their money. If you will be offering the same products as everyone else at comparable prices and in a location that is no better than your competitors, you will have to provide your target market some reason to do business with you. The service part of your product service strategy may make the difference. It could be your competitive advantage, especially if the competitive matrix indicates that there is a significant gap for customer service. Even if you offer the best products, prices, and location, you need to guard against the tendency to become complacent. If you do, when the next person analyzes the market to identify an area of business opportunity, your business may be rated low on the customer service dimension of the competitive matrix. You will be putting out the welcome mat for additional competition. It should be apparent that a business's product service strategy cannot be viewed in isolation or in a stagnant fashion. It is an integral part of the marketing mix. Your product service strategy needs to be consistent with the other three P's of the marketing mix. In some situations, your product service offering may be your competitive advantage. In other cases, it may be less significant. Most businesses can be classified according to the extent to which their target market places a premium on the product service offering. Accordingly, businesses can be classified into the following categories, specifically shopping, convenience, and impulse. Specify items, specialty items. A specialty business offers a brand that is valued by the target market. This type of business may be exclusive rights to distribute a brand in a particular geographic area. The customers of a specialty business generally are not very price sensitive, less likely to be influenced by advertisements from competitors, and willing to go out of their way to buy the particular brand, product, or service. This situation was portrayed in two advertisements years ago. Camel Cigarettes had an ad that had a picture of a man's shoe with a hole in the bottom. The caption read, "I'd walk a mile for a Camel." The other ad was the Schlitz Brewery. Schlitz had the slogan, "When you're out of Schlitz, you're out of beer." Both of these companies tried to project the image that they offered specialty items. If your market analysis indicates that the target market has a strong preference for the specific brand, product, or service that is not available in your geographic area, this may represent your best opportunity to develop a competitive advantage. Having a specialty business often involves customizing your product service offerings to the needs of your potential customers. Years ago, an individual who was an avid pizza consumer was standing at the order counter of his favorite pizza restaurant. When he noticed one of his colleagues at the pickup counter, He asked him if bought pizza from any other restaurant in the area. His friend indicated that he went to Guido's Pizzeria when he was across town because Guido served white pizza. The friend said that he occasionally preferred white pizza because it did not have as much tomato paste and did not upset his stomach as much as traditional red pizza. The first person then said that he would have to give Guido's white pizza a try. The chef must have overheard the conversation because he came out and said, "If you want white pizza, I'll make you white pizza." The chef's reaction illustrated several points. The customer is always right. You need to offer what the customer wants to buy, not what you want to sell. And you are in the business of providing satisfaction, not selling products and services. You must be willing and able to tailor your products and services to your target market. You should not expect your target market to change its wants and behavior to what you want to sell. Numerous types of goods and services are considered shopping items by a certain segment of the market. Something considered a shopping item if consumers deliberately compare price and quality when purchasing it. Consumers of shopping items check out numerous businesses so that they can do comparison shopping. They compare the prices and attributes of numerous brands and businesses. While they may prefer one brand or another, they look at the value of the item or the combination of price and quality. People who are comparing shopping items are looking for a good deal. They may prefer the General Electric brand to the Panasonic brand, but if the Panasonic item is priced lower than the GE item, the consumer may buy the Panasonic product. Brands may still be a factor to the shopping items, but brand loyalty is not as strong as it is with specialty items. Quite a few products and services are shopping items. A larger percentage of Americans do comparison shopping. They are willing to check three or more stores in order to find the best value. This is why furniture stores are located near other furniture stores. Most people want to see what is available before they buy the product. The same principle applies to car dealerships and clothing stores. Some restaurants that are located in restaurant rows display their menus at their entrances to permit potential customers to check it out. Electronic commerce has made it possible to do comparison shopping with an almost unlimited number of products or service providers. Manufacturers, distributors, and the general public can now compete for the customer's attention through their websites and auction sites. The ability to order products and services over the internet has turned the traditional retail store, with its just around the corner location, upside down for some types of businesses. And what I want to do is stop here, and I also want to talk about, everyone knows about eBay and auction sites. Many a time, and they're known as a flea market. And you can go on there and buy anything, but remember, when you set up a store, you have no guarantee that people are going to buy anything from you. So you're still paying overhead. So if you're going to do that, the best thing to do is have your own website, put up pictures of these products, and then have where you can go to the store or a shipping place like FedEx, or have them come and pick it up and ship out to your customers so that it's out the next day. If your market analysis indicates that existing businesses offer a fairly wide selection of products or services, but that their prices are higher than they should be, you may have an opportunity to create a competitive advantage by matching their product service offerings by charging lower prices. This strategy may be effective if you have a reasonable location and if your competitors don't realize by lowering their prices. This is why it is advisable that you have numerous competitive advantages when you develop your marketing mix. You want your business to be a preferred brand with a competitive price. The quality of your people will also affect the quality of the products and services offered by your business. Your people, your location, and their factors that are valued by your target market may provide your business with additional edge in the marketplace. Your business needs to give its target market a compelling reason to buy its products and services. Salespeople use the term unique selling proposition to describe what separates your business from all the other businesses. If you are in the shopping item type of business, you should make sure that your marketing mix gives customers what they are looking for. Or better yet, if it will be more profitable, see if you can transform your business into a specialty business. The brand of a product now. What I want to do is break off here and let you know that it is very important to know exactly who your target market is, and that's what we discussed last week. Now we're talking about how you strategize to sell to your target market. The brand of a product went from being very important in the specialty type business to being moderately important in the shopping type business, where selection and value were the key elements. With convenience items, consumers are even less certain for the particular brand, a particular size, or even a particular price. Some consumer prices place a premium on how easy it is to purchase certain items. In the next few decades, the United States has experienced a convenience revolution. People prefer not to go out of their way. Either they do not want to go out of their homes or they do not want to get out of their cars. There used to be a gas station on every corner. Now there is a convenience store on every corner. Banks, restaurants, laundries, drugstores, and liquor stores have selected locations near their target markets. They have also built drive-in windows to make it easier for their customers to do business. Other businesses offer delivery service so that the customer doesn't even have to get into the car. Malls are a kind of large-scale convenience store. Like their predecessors, the large department stores, they try to offer one-stop shopping. It was not that long ago that catalogs and infomercials came on the scene to challenge conventional retail stores. Most recently, internet sites have made it possible for people to shop from the convenience of their homes, offices, cars, or almost anywhere. And what that means is you can have a website and you can be selling 24 hours a day, even while you're asleep, even while you're on vacation. That is why today people say you can be in business for yourself and yet not be actually working the business but 8 hours a day or even 4 hours a day. So there's, what you're hearing is how the job market has changed over the years. And what I've been reading you is really an example of how the job market has changed over the years. And when you listen to it and you hear it and you read it, then it helps you understand why it is important to think how you can change the skills you have from one field into another field, because the job market is continually changing. And what I want to do is take a break here and also ask you to remember that if you need help in starting your own business, you need to sign up for a year's coaching. And in a year's coaching, what you will receive is value added, because you will get the assessment profiles to really help you figure out how you can build your skills to improve where you want to be in the next few years and how you can get there and be there. You need to set up a business. You need to have help on starting a business plan, and you need to know why it's important to do that. And what I want you to do is I want you to visit my website, onepersonalcareercoach.com, where you can purchase, get help and assistance and purchase my time to help you build a very successful business. Because what I do is I help people find their passion and make it into a successful business. But what I'm also able to do is help you understand how you have beliefs that may be limiting your abilities, or they may stop you from making the right decisions. Because when you make the right decisions, then your business can grow and be very successful. Now, let's get back to what we were discussing. The key ingredient for a convenience item is just what the name implies. It must be convenient to the target market. Most convenient businesses are run on the premise that consumers frequently place convenience ahead of brand loyalty and price consciousness. The typical neighborhood convenience store will not carry all the brands, nor will it offer a brand and deep product selection. Instead, it will stock one or two brands in one or two sizes. Convenience stores try to carry basic items that people are likely to run out of, such as bread, milk, gasoline, beer, cigarettes, and film. In a sense, convenience stores can be viewed as emergency stores. When people run out of something before they expected to, they want to get it in a hurry. This is why the location and the hours may be the most important parts of the convenience business. The emergency, I want it right now, nature in convenient items explains why convenience stores can get away with charging higher prices. The lack of product selection and higher prices are the trade-off for convenience. People are less particular about the brand and price when they are in a hurry or when they just do not want to bother of going some distance to buy the product or service. Convenience businesses tailor their marketing . People who are brand loyal tend to drive farther to get their favorite brand. People who are price conscious are willing to shop where they can get lower prices, even if it takes them more time. Convenience stores are suited to people in target markets who have disposable income and who place a premium on the value of their time. Impulse items. The best way to describe an impulse item is that it is something that the consumer did not plan to buy. Impulse items do not appear on people's shopping lists. They tend to be spur-of-the-moment purchases. Food is the best example of the impulse item. Small food booths at shopping malls make most of the money from people who did not go to the mall to buy food. The same applies to the sale of candy in drugstores and grocery stores. Most people did not go there to buy candy. A large portion of the sales of ice cream and yogurt shops located on major thoroughfares can also be attributed to impulse purchases. Most impulse purchases are driven by emotion rather than necessity. Most of the products and services that can be classified as impulse items must be located and displayed in such a way that it is easy for the potential consumer to see them and purchase them. In a sense, people in the impulse item business make their living by getting customers of other businesses who are looking for other products and services to spend a moment of their time and some of their money on these impulse items. This is why a number of businesses want to have links on popular websites. It may be a lot easier to get potential customers to hit their link when it would be to get them to seek out their website. These businesses have almost parasitic relationships on the host site. Amazon.com is very effective in getting its customers to buy more items than they might have planned to buy. Not only does its website suggest additional books that are tailored to the individual customer, but its add it to my shopping cart feature makes buying more books almost effortless. Product service strategy is important, but the location, visibility, and display of impulse items may be just as important. Your business's success will be directly related to the extent to which your product service offering is tailored to the target market's unique interests. The four categories of product service offerings provide a means for describing how particular your target market may be about products and services. You need to recognize that something that is a shopping item to one person may be a convenience item to another person and an impulse item to a third person. Automobiles are shopping items to most people. People tend to compare models, prices, financing, and warranties before they make a decision. The process may involve all members of the family, and it may take months before the final decision is made. However, some people will buy only one particular brand at one particular dealer and from one particular salesperson. A few people approach buying an automobile as if it were a convenience of even an impulse item. They do not want to wait, and they want to take it with them. The differences in what people look for in products and services represent opportunities for new businesses. Pricing strategy. Your pricing strategy will depend on numerous factors. Your prices will need to reflect the target market you select, the nature and the extent of the competition, the strength of your location, your cost structure, the type of goods and services you will offer, and your target market's price sensitivity. There may be as many approaches to pricing as there are factors that affect a business's pricing strategy. The standard markup approach. Quite a few businesses use the standard market or cost-based approach for setting their prices. With the standard markup approach, a retailer will base its price and for an item on what it paid for that item plus a percentage of that cost. The percentage of cost that is added to the cost is what is referred to as a markup. The standard markup formula, retail price equals cost plus markup. The markup percentage may be suggested by your suppliers, or it could be based on other cost-related factors. Many retailers use a customary markup of 100% of cost. The 100% markup is easy to figure. If the owner of the wine and cheese shop buys a bottle of imported French wine for $6, then the bottle will be priced at $12. Service businesses frequently use the standard markup approach. One CPA firm's hourly rate is 3 times what it pays the accountants who will be doing the work. The logic behind this pricing strategy is that the price for the firm's services has to cover 3 important components. The first component is what the CPA firm has to pay its accountants for the work they actually do. The second component is the fringe benefits, Social Security payments, training time, and the time for the accountants are in their offices between clients. The second component also includes training office rent, insurance, clerical assistance, and the depreciation of equipment. This component represents the overhead of the business. The third component is the salaries of the senior managers who coordinate the firm's operations along with a reasonable profit. The standard markup approach is fairly common in certain types of businesses. If you are starting such a business and you want to have an idea of what the average markup is, you can check trade data or annual statement studies to get the average markup figure. Trade data frequently represent the gross margin as a percentage of sales. The gross margin is the result of subtracting the cost of goods sold from sales. If trade data indicates that the gross margin is 40% of sales, then you know that the cost of goods sold must be 60% of sales. If an item sells for $10, then the business had to pay $6 for it. The gross margin represents the markup of $4 on a cost of $6 per unit. If the gross margin is 40% of the sales, then the markup can cost is 66% of cost. The standard markup method has two major shortcomings. It fails to take into consideration either the unique nature of the market or competition or both. The standard markup approach is based on cost rather than market conditions. It also assumes that your competition uses the same approach and that your customers are willing to buy your products or services at those prices. If you use the standard markup approach, make sure you use the proper base. Some industries state markup as a percentage of the cost. Others state it as a percentage of the selling price. There is a big difference between a 60% markup on cost and a 60% markup on the selling price. This approach often resembles the standard markup approach. Businesses that compete against one another may offer their products or services at comparable prices. If you use a standard markup and have comparable products or services, then their prices will be fairly close to one another. The situation may arise in which one or two businesses in a given market decide to lower their markup percentage in order to attract additional customers. Other businesses may then lower their prices to avoid losing customers. The same situation may arise if a business decides to raise its prices. If one business owner thinks that customers are not price sensitive, that owner may raise prices in order to increase profits. Some or all of that business's competitors may then match the new prices. After a period of time and a number of such changes, prices may reflect what one or two businesses think prices should be rather than the standard markup percentage. And what I'd like to do is break here because you've been hearing a lot of that recently when you've been hearing about airlines and how they keep repricing. And when one company announces they're going to charge more for, say, luggage check-in, then all of the different airlines follow because they have standards that they have to follow. They have to make sure that they have enough money in overhead to be able to pay the mechanics, to pay the pilots, to pay the maintenance on it, and even if they have to even replace planes at times. So all of that is figured into what they're doing. Plus, if you think of the fluctuating oil business today, then that's also an aspect of what's considered in the airline and and the different ways that they're trying to make up money. If you think about the fact that what's been going on lately in areas where companies are trying to draw business for themselves, especially in our down economy, they're almost trying any avenue they can think of that's going to bring business to them. Now, new businesses frequently choose the matching strategy because consumers have already demonstrated their willingness to buy goods and services at these prices. This approach has numerous drawbacks. The primary drawback is that if you have a competitive advantage that your target market values, you should be able to charge higher prices. The matched market approach is a play-it-safe approach that fails to consider your unique strengths. Many businesses adapt their approach because they do not want to rock the boat. The match-the-market approach can also be risky. If one business lowers its prices, there is always the risk that a price war will develop in which customers benefit from the lower prices, but each business sees its profits vanish. Lemmings will follow other lemmings off a ledge. Don't put yourself in the position where you have to match lower prices. Numerous factors are taken into account with this approach. You begin by analyzing the nature of your target market and determining whether your potential customers prefer a certain brand, whether they have distinguished disposable income, whether they are price sensitive, how often they buy your type of products and services, and whether they consider your products or services to be in the specialty, shopping, convenience, or impulse category. Using this approach, you pay particular attention to the competitive matrix of your target market. The number of businesses in the market and the extent to which the businesses meet your target market's needs will affect the pricing strategy. The degree to which consumers are loyal to existing businesses will also affect your pricing strategy. If the matrix indicates that numerous businesses already offer a good selection of products, brands, or services, have reasonable prices, and are conveniently located, then they may not be advisable to you to set your prices higher than your competitors. You may be better off matching your competitors' prices by offering lower prices to entice your customers to try the businesses. The market penetration approach to pricing. If the target market is price sensitive, then you may consider a market penetration pricing strategy. This strategy gets its name because you are trying to enter the market by diverting customers of your business or getting people who have not bought the product or service before to buy it because the lower prices have greater appeal. The market penetration approach works best when existing businesses have been taken advantage of the market by changing higher than appropriate prices. If you enter the marketplace and try to divert your competitors' customers to your business, do not be surprised if they lower their prices to match or beat your prices. Most established businesses prefer not to compete in the basis of price. They want to avoid price wars if at all possible. After all, if prices go up, new competitors may enter the market. If prices go too low, there may not be enough gross margin to cover operating expenses and generate profits. Penetration may also be a viable pricing strategy for a new business if its cost structure is considerably lower than the existing business's cost structures. Walmart used this strategy when it entered the retail market. It was able to offer lower prices than Sears because it located its stores on the outskirts of cities where rents were much lower. Walmart's management believed that if it offered brand names at lower prices, consumers would be willing to drive a little further in order to save money. You may be able to attract other businesses' customers with lower prices if the other three P's of the marketing mix are comparable. If your location is too far out of the way, you will probably have to lower your prices even more to make it worthwhile for people to travel farther to buy your goods and services. If your prices are just a few cents lower than those of more conveniently located businesses, you had better not hold your breath while you wait for the customers to switch to your business. If you want to attract customers, it may be better to have special price, special sales, or to offer time-dated discount coupons that have a lower prices to all the time. If your review of the competitive matrix indicates that customers are still in search of a business, you may have an opportunity to set higher prices. If you have the exclusive distribution rights for a revolutionary new product or a popular brand that the market has been anxiously waiting for, you may have some latitude in setting prices. In such a case, you may consider a skimming strategy. This strategy gets its name from the practice of skimming the cream off the top of milk. When people really want something, they are usually willing to pay more for it. By charging higher prices, you are going after the group of people in your target market who are willing to pay something that is new or prestigious. The same applies to your location. If you offer a convenience type of product or service and you are located much closer to your target market than any other business, your price may reflect your competitive advantage. Most business owners would love to be in the position to use the skimming strategy. It allows them to charge the highest price the market is willing to pay. The skimming approach, however, has four possible drawbacks. First, it assumes that your business is better than any other. Second, it assumes that your market is willing to pay more. The concept of elasticity has considerable bearing on whether the skimming strategy will be effective. The elasticity concept is based on this question. Will the percentage increase in price be greater than the percentage decrease in the number of units demanded? If the answer is yes, then you should charge a higher price. Third, higher prices mean that fewer people will be able to buy the items. Fourth, the prices mean that the higher the prices, the greater the likelihood that other businesses will enter the market and lure your customers by offering lower prices. If you have a competitive advantage, you should be able to set higher prices. Your review of the target market and the probability of competitive retaliation will give you an idea about how much higher your prices will be and how long they can be higher. Both the penetration strategy and the skimming strategy require judgment. Neither strategy will assume success. Nevertheless, these strategies may be more appropriate than strategies that ignore the nature of the market. Your new business may even use a combination of the two strategies. If there is considerable pent-up demand for your type of product or service and your target market has considerable disposable income, you may start with a skimming strategy. You may then slowly shift to the penetration strategy to keep competitors away and to attract customers who may be more price sensitive. There may also be the situations in which you would be the exact opposite. And if there is a lot of competition, you may want to start with a penetration strategy to get customers' interest and then slowly raise prices as customers show that they prefer your business. Additional pricing guidelines. Each of the preceding approaches provides a general basis for pricing products and services. Your pricing strategy also needs to address sales discounts and seasonality. You will need to decide whether you will discount your prices in various situations. The most common type of discount is to put your product or service on sale. You may lower your prices for certain items temporarily in order to attract new customers, to get your existing customers to buy more, to sell inventory that has been building up, or to raise cash to meet pressing financial obligations. Before you put anything on sale, you need to answer three questions. Which items will attract customer interest? How much of a discount will I need to offer to attract customers? How long should the items be on sale? The answers to these questions will depend on your particular situation. You will need to know how much each item costs. Really, should you discount an item below what you paid for it? You may offer certain products as loss leaders to attract customers, but if your prices are below your cost, you may be violating the law. Also, your price discount will need to be enough to influence potential customers. If the item sells for $100, a 5% discount probably will not change the consumer behavior. You may need to offer a discount of at least 20% to attract customers' interest. The discount needs to be large enough to get the consumers to buy the product or service. And what I'd like to do is finish up here in the last 2 minutes by going back and discussing some of the things that we've been talking about. And when you think about a business and a service, remember, you do not want to underprice yourself because you want to be thought of as a professional. And people don't think of you as a professional if you're underpriced. For instance, I was sitting in on a conference call, and someone was talking about pricing. So what he was saying was that when he was juggling as a student, he charged someone $10, and his competitor was charging $25. Well, the customer went to the individual who was charging $25 because he viewed him more of a professional than the person who was charging just $10. So that becomes something that you need to consider as well, and to think about what you would do and how you would build your market. And we're now down to the last minute, and what I would like to do is remind you that next week our topic is to talk about promotional strategy and physical distribution strategy. Because when you're thinking about marketing, that's the next level that you need to think about, is how you're going to market your business, how you're going to build your finance, and how you're going to grow your business. And think of some things that you need to do that will really help you think about building a very successful business in today's marketplace and where you want to be in the next few years. So think about it. Think about growing your business and what you're going to do for your business. You want to think of things that you're going to really do that are going to help you build up a very successful business, where you want to be in the next few years, and how you would like to be successful with it. And my last thought is to remind you that I want you to visit my website, onepersonalcareercoach.com.